I want to talk about, we talked about fear last time.
You mean Thursday? Wednesday?
Remember we talked about fear? Does anybody remember what we talked about?
I remember.
It says, fear not the things that they fear. Talked about alliances.
Yeah.
we're going to talk a minute about the flip side of fear.
Thank you, Dale.
Genesis 9.
First one.
Genesis, Exodus. Genesis is the first. First book, and it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Just
over 10,
and then 1.
Genesis 9. Now, the story of Noah and the flood is revealed in you all of time. Hopefully just once, but for some of you it's been revealed over and over. The evil that came upon the world was a result of mixing. And God did everything in the universe to protect the seed of Christ that was potentially coming through the seed of woman. And so that, at the point in time in which the nations and the people got so totally and completely mixed that Noah's family was the last one on earth that wasn't yet mixed genetically, then he sent forth the flood so that there would be no possibility that the seed of woman could be mixed with that which was of the flesh.
What do you mean by the seed of woman?
Is Christ.
The seed of Abraham?
It's the seed of woman. That's the remember, the original, everything, all mystery in the universe, all myths, all astrology, all everything is based on Genesis 3. And the when God cursed Adam, our father, for eating of the tree of the fruit. The fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, therefore judging for himself good and evil, because so he could be as a god separate from the source of life, then he cursed everything. You're cursed, all of you. You're living in a curse. And the curse is that of the sweat of your brow, you will make your living or make your food. You know, all of you, when you work, when you go to work, all you're doing is running down an animal so you can have something to eat. You understand that? Mm-hmm. There's no such thing as a career. Your career as part of the curse is to survive. Now, you placed all kinds of societal names on that desire for survival. Oh, I'm going to have a career. But your career is hunting. In fear. So that you can kill the animal, so you have something to eat and clothe yourself with and cover yourself with so you can survive. So that's your constant motivation. Fear. Running out to hunt. Now, the problem is the way you're constructed, your fear of not surviving, it's so you're so into it that you don't even know you're doing it. I mean, it's like the fish describing the ocean kind of thing. You can't describe the ocean as long as you're in it. Now, the problem with it is, when you go out to hunt, when they went out to hunt, you know, they'd go out and kill a deer. No, they didn't kill any mammoths. Those are pre-Adamic. Those are the Lucifer's age. They'd go out and kill a deer, or they'd set a trap or something, and they'd have to be in this fight mode, the fight or flight mode, for maybe a half hour, where all of their hormones are concentrated on that one thing, so they could kill that animal so they could survive for another week or whatever it was. Your careers, i.e. going to work, being a housewife, I don't care what it is, your career isn't that luxury. They went out and they did it, and they worked for a little brief moment of time, and whack, And they got, they either succeeded or failed. It was very clear. It was black or white.
Gored.
Do what?
It's more clear cut. It's like they got gored if they failed.
Right, but they got, that's what, my point is, I want you to see that that's all you're doing. I don't care if you're the president of the United States. All you're doing is running around trying to hunt an animal so you can survive. But the point is, they did it instantly. And so the hormonal structure that's within your system that you're made for was at that level just for a brief period of time. You were anxious. You had anxiety only until you had effort expended, results seen. Then you relaxed. You just laid around and looked at the stars and stuff. But for you, your point of tension is constant. Yet the hunt is never over because you're at a constant state of trying to kill the animal. So your survival is constant. Therefore, your whole hormonal structure is totally destroyed, and you live in fear and anxiety about whether or not you're going to be able to survive. That's the gut-level thing that's happening to the whole human race. And because of that, that anxiousness, that fear, that dread, it's destroying you. When your body, when your hormonal structure releases those things that were necessary for kill or fight, and it releases them at a steady state over your entire life, then what happens? Your body destroys itself. All of the diseases, the degenerative diseases, whether it's heart disease, cancer, the various forms of tuberculosis, on and on and on and on. All of the degenerative diseases are caused by the body, arthritis, asthma, or the body is destroying itself. And the root cause of it is anxiety. Stress, which is simply another name for low-level fear. Can you all understand what I'm talking about?
Yes.
So you don't want to do that anymore. You are of they who, by your genetic heritage, are they who God has said, I will protect you above all things because you contain the seed of woman. You don't have to play the curse game any longer. That's what grace and freedom in the gospel is all about. You don't have to go out and hunt anymore. Communicating? All, not because of you, but because of His holy name. No longer performance, but simply by right of genetic structure. You are a king and a priest and a princess and a high, you know, not the false high priestess, the real priests and kings. And that's your heritage, and it's based only exclusively on your genetic structure. That you contain the seed of Christ, the King. Got it? Okay, so what happened? What does all this have to do with Noah? Well, I'll show you. 1 Peter chapter 3.
Wait.
Verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened or made alive by the Spirit. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein a few, that is only 8 souls, were saved by water. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The point is, the same picture, Peter said here, the same thing that has that we're going to talk about it happening in Noah has happened to us. Baptism is something. Has something to do with fear. Something to do with anxiety. Something to do with performance. Now watch. When the situation got untenable for God, when the risk took place that there was a possibility that the seed of Christ, the seed of woman, would be mingled, then what happened? He sent a flood. And the flood destroyed everything in the world except those that had the potential or had the containment of the seed of Christ. You got it? Now what does all that have to do with fear? I'm glad you asked. Chapter 9, Genesis. The first thing that happened when Noah got out of the ark was a picture of Christ. The first thing he did when he got out of the ark, which happened on the Feast of Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, was that he built an altar. It was the same altar, it's always the same place. It's always on Mount Moriah. There's only one altar in all of the scripture. It's always on Mount Moriah. It's where you present yourself the living sacrifice. Okay, then, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon this earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. The same thing happens once the waters of judgment have totally flowed over you. You have seen and experienced that vis-a-vis your death in the waters of judgment, i.e. your baptism. Then he has quickened you with a lively hope by the resurrection of Christ from the dead in you. Then a new thing takes place. Now the fear of you, instead of you being afraid of all the animals chasing you and all of the stuff, and you need magic little stuff like the garments of Adam and Eve to protect you and to control. Now a new thing has taken place. Now the fear of you, instead of you fearing them, the fear of you and the dread of you is on every creature. The instant, and it all takes place by the act of your death, the acceptance of your death, the essence of your death internalized means what? The essence of death is that you don't think about yourself. A dead person cannot think about himself. How do you know if you've picked up the cross? Well, whether or not I'm thinking about myself. So when you start thinking about yourself, you don't solve the problem. You trust in the resurrection of Christ. And by that seeing that you have been buried in the waters of judgment in your baptism, the promise now is the fear of you and the dread of you is on every creature. That's as sure as night follows day. Then what happens? What happens if all of a sudden there's something that you fear? What happens if you buy the lie of anxiety? What happens if you buy the lie that you still have to be in the hunt? Just as God's grace telling you, the signal has been given to you that ugly little creature has resurrected himself from the dead. Just as it's predicted, the Antichrist, you, your mind, one of the seven heads, has resurrected himself from the dead in you as the vessel. And therefore, now you're back in fear. Now you fear everything. You fear that you're under the curse. You fear you're not going to perform right. You fear you'll do this and this wrong. That's why Isaiah said, fear not the things that they fear. The solution isn't to sit around and figure out how not to fear. The solution is to die. That the resurrection might again be revealed in you daily. Just as we die daily, so is the resurrection anew daily. That's the test. You understand? You don't have to fear. You don't have to be in a state of anxiety ever again. The fear of you, the dread of you, shall be on every creature. I'm not talking about sparrows. I'm talking about on every act of creation. The promise of God is that you have dominion. What does dominion mean? You have now dominion over your high places. You have dominion over this ridiculous thing that has raised himself always in your hunk of protoplasm and says, oh, poor me. You have the right to constantly command your soul to be at rest. There's only one way it can be at rest, and that's when your soul recognizes the authority of the Spirit within you.
I mean, it's so simple that
do you have any instinct? Can is there something within you that can tie in, can connect to the idea of dominion? Or is that so foreign to your consciousness that there's no way to talk about it? I mean, I act like, right now, it's like I'm speaking Russian to a bunch of people. That's my instinct. That you have, you're so used to walking in fear that you have no concept of what dominion is.
Just when you were saying that, this is what I thought of. I thought of when, if you meet someone and you don't, it's like from another culture or something, you don't understand them, you don't know them, you are automatically afraid of them because there's certain rules that you follow and certain things that are expected of you. And that's scary to people. And I don't know if that has anything to do with it.
Where we are aliens in a bizarre land. This is not our home, this is not our culture, this is not our life. We do not fear the things that they fear. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Let him alone be your fear. Let him alone be your dread. Do you have any idea if time could break just a little hole in your wall of flesh, do you have any idea of what it would be like for you to never, ever, ever, ever even be aware of the concept of need again? Do you have any idea of the concept of if that little veil of flesh could be torn so that just the slightest ray of light could penetrate your consciousness, that you would never, ever, ever be anxious or fearful again? That there is nothing in the universe that could put you in a state of anxiety or fear? That there is nothing in the universe that could cause you to think that you were separate from the source of life? That if there were ever a need that was manifested within you, that you simply speak it into existence? Never, ever, ever to have the slightest moment of fear. That's your heritage. Anything less than that is a lie. And I don't want you to believe lies any longer. The fear of you and the dread of you shall be on everything in creation. That is either true or you might as well check it out and throw this out. What do you do instead? You say that's true someday, therefore you sit and rest in your own sloth rather than, and you try to cleanse yourself by figuring it out, rather than simply declaring it a fait accompli. You make little jokes about it. Perfected love has cast out all fear. Well, where'd it go? Well, it went on everything in creation, except you. Why do you think people are afraid of me? That doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense to the natural mind. No one that I have ever met ignores me. They either really like me or really hate me. I mean, it's not, I'm not just brushed off. Why? The only one that ever did that was Daryl's dad. Dad, only he don't show me shit.
I think it's because you know martial arts, isn't it?
It's because you talk.
No, no.
Really the same thing? Whether it is they like you or they don't like you, it's still driven by the same motive. It's still driven by the fear. They either have to get close to you for protection or they have to run away from you.
Let's go to Luke 5. Came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him, or asked him, that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught, or for a catch, or for a get a bunch of stuff. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and they break their net. And their net break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink.
That's the name.
And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Now what in the hell does that mean? Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. He saw, for whatever reason, that Jesus Christ was Lord. You cannot see that Jesus Christ is Lord without asking him to depart from you, because it hurts too much to see your status compared to his. You understand? He didn't say, fix me up, make me nice. Every time, that's why it's, you know, it's, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. Now watch. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were his partners with Simon. And Jesus saith unto them, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. What is the meaning of that? Fear not. Well, there's a sequence. you meet impossible situations, somehow you accept God as a viable possibility. You see the end of what your desires are. You see that you're a sinful man. You see there's nothing left in the world. And then you forsook all and followed him. And then you shall catch men. Now you can never, ever, ever begin this process without... It's not that he's commanding you to go out and catch men. He's saying that the effect of your being will, in fact, catch men. I shall make you fishers of men. Unless you have a sense of destiny for with which what you're about, you will always stay in this position of, oh, I need some more fish, or oh, improve me, or oh, do this or this or this. Until you come to the point of the final act of saying, Father, I am a sinful man, depart from me. Am I communicating? And you will, then, only then, will he say back to you, fear not. Now this first part of Luke is a compression of time. It's like, this is, for some of you, this is a 10-year, for some of you maybe longer, but it's a long period of time. Now it's compressed in these passages. Your fear is based on the haunting suspicion that your idols aren't going to work. You understand? Do not fear what they fear. What is it that you fear? What are you afraid of? If it's a common fear to the human race, or if anyone else in the human race shares that fear, then your fear isn't something to try to get rid of vis-a-vis thinking about it. Your fear is to be seen as dead and repented of. You understand? Fear ye not what they fear. Well, I doubt if any of you have any fears or anxieties that aren't common to the human race. Right? Well, that's not smart. It's not smart to hold on to them. Well, how do you get rid of them? How do you transfer your fear to the point where the fear of you and the dread of you is in every creature? Fear is endemic to time and space. Do you understand? Fear cannot leave time and space. It is the... it's as pervasive as air. Some of you are better at hiding it than others, but if in time and space, everything in there is fear.
It's the stock and trade. God of this world.
That's right. Everything in there is fear. Now, there's only, if you possess fear, it has to be, if you're afraid of something, it can't just go into the ether. I mean, fear is real. I mean, it's as real as its substance. Do you understand that? It's got to go somewhere. Where is it going to go? To everything in the world. But what you do with it, you're like the great alchemists. You're sorcerers with regard to fear. You take a little bit of this out of here, and if I do this, this, and this, then the boogeyman can't get me. Or if I act this way and this way and this way, and I scratch my left ear and my right ball at the same time, then when I walk around the corner, that evil person won't get me. Or all of the, if I take this, this, and this action, then the fear that I have with regard to the future won't come to pass. So rather than getting rid of fear, you worship it. Is what the kid, what you're really doing. And you're worshiping it you're just like these witches of Endor who are I've got a cauldron, and you're taking stuff, and you're taking a little bit of this over here, and a little bit of that over there, and a little bit of this over there, and you're mixing it in the pot to appease as the offering for that fear. You understand? Now, the absence of fear is not a process. In other words, something that takes place over time. Nothing about God is the process, as far as you're concerned. If you believe it's a process, then you're walking in disobedience. You're not hearing under at this instant. You're thinking it's going to take place or be better at some point in the future. Even though if I just told Patty that I promised her that she would know God as Daddy and that she would be without fear, the reason I can fully and with every bit of authority promise her that is that it's already true. You understand? But if you in your mind believe that I don't care what the fear is, if you take little bits of this, this, and this, and then I will appease that fear. What have you done? You've worshipped fear. Well, how do you get rid of it? What do you do about your instinctive gut level fears? What does Ed do about his fear of being penniless or the fear of not having security? What does Tyra do about the fear that I won't be here tomorrow? What does Patty do about the fear that she's going to hurt somebody? What does Rick do about the fear that he's not worthy? What do you do about these haunting fears?
Wait a second. I just found myself getting really angry, you know, whenever you say it is not a process. Because of our stupidity or my stupidity or whatever, it is a fucking process. And I get, you know, just so overwhelmed with the impossibility of God's plan when you say all you have to do is see, and you know, here we've been trying to see for 10 years. You know, it just, I don't doubt that's true, but why are we constructed, you know, this group on Wintwood or whatever, you know, that we just, or I, me, whatever, just, it's not that fucking easy. And I get, my anger has no place to go but it's you. And I just get, either I want to, that's to change the doctrine. I want to see it.
Okay. Let's take a vote. What do you? What? Anybody have an amendment they'd like to make?
That was a joke.
You want to make it dependent on time? All in favor?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh? That's really what you're asking. I don't think we want to.
Yeah, we're dead meat if that's.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody else want to make some amendments?
I don't know if part of the time dependent or not, but I guess I have to answer that yes. I want to make it time dependent like now.
Part of the impossibility of this is that in time it is a process. Out of time it is complete. It has always been complete. It always will be complete because there is no has been and will be. Because it's out of time. But the incredibly frustrating thing is that as long as we are in the ocean of time, we will see it as a process. But the instant we can exit time,
bye-bye.
It's no longer a process. But it's incredibly frustrating. When you talk about fear, what do you do about fear? Fear is totally time dependent. Fear is a phenomenon of time. The purpose of fear is to project something into the future and be able to react to something that you perceive is going to happen. I mean, it's the nature of fear when you talk about fight or flight syndrome in the animal.
Or in the hunter.
It is preparation for a future event. It is to prepare the organism to do something at another point in time. And we're the only organisms there are that even have the possibility of going, wait a minute, this isn't true. This time thing isn't true. It's now. It's now.
Talk to me a minute, some of you, about the things that you have feared in the past. Huh?
It's easier to say, what happened? I fear. And
talk to me about something that you used to fear that you don't fear today.
Okay, driving on the interstate.
Driving on the interstate. Good point.
Going over a hill, thinking that I'm going to go off into space. Right. And
there really wasn't a God.
Well, but that's too amorphous.
OD.
Fear of ODing on drugs.
Right.
Do you fear that anymore?
No.
Do you fear about going over an overpass anymore?
No.
Okay.
Heart attack.
You fear heart attack now?
No. Well, not like I used to.
It's a good example.
It happened this morning. I'm sitting in the office. I'm working. I feel a palpitation. There's an instantaneous, my God, I'm having a heart attack. And I just said, bullshit. And it's gone.
Well, let's some more.
Well,
vampires.
Wait, what was it?
Well,
wasps.
Wasps.
Yeah.
Sparrows.
No, but I'd like to join Linda in overcoming that fear of wasps.
It's over.
And you have wasps.
What about? Remember, you're little kids. Think about fear stuff. Fear of dark.
I was really, when I was a little kid, I was really afraid that I was sort of dropped off by gypsies. Now you just didn't fit.
Are you still afraid?
No, I'm convinced it was space, but it's a good fear.
No. What?
Rejection.
Fear of rejection. But I mean, I want to get some concrete fears there.
I had a fear of my sister.
You're afraid of your sister? Are you afraid of her now?
No.
I have fear of my father.
Are you afraid of him now?
Cancer.
Afraid of cancer? Afraid of
it now? You were a child?
No, just laziness.
Oh,
okay.
Shit.
I was afraid of that.
Storms.
Afraid of storms?
Afraid
of lightning?
Deep water.
Deep water. Heights.
Getting heights.
Elevators. Escalators.
Heights.
Dogs. Cats. Yeah.
Ex-wives.
What happened to those fears? What happened to the fears that you used to have? What happened to them? Huh? Well, let me give you another avenue. They denigrated with time. What denigrated with time? The fear or your mind's idea of it? I mean, were you ever, in truth, afraid of, I want you to all understand that it's your mind. If you're not afraid of it now, and you used to be afraid of it then it hasn't changed. Only your mind has.
Well,
true.
Yeah, it's like
true. Correct.
Deep water, what you're really afraid of is dying, is drowning. I mean, and once you see that you're not going to drown, the deep water loses its power.
It doesn't matter what it is. The point I'm making to you, if it's something that you were afraid of and you're not afraid of now, it didn't change. Your mind changed. Your perception of it changed. You understand?
Yeah.
Now, all I'm saying to you is that the battlefield isn't external. The battlefield is to see that which is eternally true now. Eternally true now is what it looks like to you, like it's denigrating, like the fears are denigrating, but it's not.
It looks like it's a process.
It looks like it's a process, but it isn't. It's a process only to the extent. No, I'm serious. This is critical to the understanding of God stuff.
It's still going on. Who is it?
Well, I'm sorry. I'm lost. Are you saying that it is only the fact that it has the illusion of being a process is only because it is an illusion?
Yes. You have never been afraid of whatever it is that you fear.
Then why? Maybe I'm missing the whole fucking point. Why is fear so real?
Because God is using that thing that you have defined as fear so that in the process of time, He can say to the world, the flesh, and the devil, take your best shot. It's your mind that is in... It's your mind is never... The real you has never been afraid of anything in the universe. Has never been afraid. The real you, your real function, your real self, the self that has the power to command your perceptions, your soul. It has never been afraid of exposure. It has never been afraid of rejection. It has never been afraid of death. It has never been afraid of lack of anything. It has never been afraid of not having security. It's never been afraid of being alone. It's never been afraid of boogeymen. It's never been afraid of anything. That's your real you. Now, the question is, what do I do about my fears? It's how do I see the real me? The real you, we're looking at Patty, the real you has never judged anybody. The real you has never wanted to hurt anybody. The real you has never been afraid that he was gay. The real you has never been afraid that you were a whore. The real you has never been afraid of any of those things.
What hit me was when you were talking earlier about the power, the dominion deal, when your soul will be in subjection to that, to that. The real you if you can even see it, the power and authority is there. And you're
amen.
Just
when I am, I used to have about 500 people working for me. And if I said to somebody, do this, I had every understanding, every certainty that it was done. I didn't necessarily know how to get down. I mean, like if I asked Barbara to do something on the computer, I could care less about the computer. But I know that it's done. Even as I speak it, I know it's done. I believe it's done. It's finished. In the case of in the world, when I had people working for me, they were in authority. I mean, I was in a position of authority, and their jobs and their futures and everything else depended on if I said do this, they would do it. You understand? That's what the parable is about, or the confrontation with Christ and the Roman centurion. He said, I am a man subject to authority. If I say this, it shall be done. Now, what I want you to understand is who your authority is. I don't know how that the fears that I have had in my past are now allayed. All I know is I commanded my soul to say, fear ye not. And it no longer fears. I don't know how it happened that I am no longer interested in money and security and all those things. But I know that I am I know about authority. I know that the real me has commanded my soul. It says, that's fear. Be gone. Do you understand what I'm saying to you?
Yes.
You fear because you believe not in authority. Therefore, you fear because you are in a state of rebellion. No matter how sincere you make it. I am here to tell you tonight that your
authority from this moment forward is to command your soul to be at rest, to fear ye not. Yeah. Now, how that is accomplished isn't your business. I don't understand. I mean, I know. I was fascinated by the mind. Still am. I'm fascinated by the process of how the brain cells work and synapse and the neurons and the protein content and all that other stuff. But I could no more. But I know. I know that if I say, "Body, get up and go get some coffee," that my body is in subjection. You understand?
Yeah.
My soul. But by faith, I also know that my soul is in subjection to the Father of Spirits. And I know that I can say to my soul, "Fear ye not." I can say to my soul, "Enter now into the rest." I can say to my soul, "It is finished." And I know that it is a fait accompli. That's how you and I are different. But you have the same authority. Do you understand?
It's like we are starving to death, but we're saying, "Well, I'm not going to eat dinner until I understand how it works."
That's how you get rid of fear. That's how the fear of you and the dread of you is on every creature. It's beginning to apprehend that for which you have been apprehended by.
Isn't it just the way in wholeheartedly?
Just say whatever's there. If you're in fear, say, "Fear ye not." If you're in anxiety, say, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Who are... Am I communicating?
Mm-hmm. So the rebellion is really just giving any credence to the lie.
The rebellion is giving credence to the flesh, to the sensory perception. The carnal mind cannot be subject to the laws of God. That's why you must speak it from the spiritual standpoint. You must walk in the spirit. You're not subject to the flesh. But you have made your bodies and your souls subject to the flesh rather than in dominion to the Father of Spirits. And God thus far has allowed you to have fears and anxieties so you could see through that lie. We don't have to do that anymore. Hey, listen. Now, this is a process in terms of perception. I grant you that. But I'm saying tonight, you don't have to believe that even is a process any longer. As He is in this world, so are we. Listen, I was entangled in the web of hell. The web of hell is anytime you're entangled in self. I was entangled in the web of hell. You know, the more I tried to fight, the deeper in I fell. When I hit the bottom of that stinking hole, in the blackest darkness, I cried out, "Lord, save my soul." There was nothing debated as my body went cold, got even less complicated after the stone was rolled. There was no hope of rescue. Life was draining away. That's when I finally saw you, and when I heard you say, "Return to the rest, you wayward soul. Don't settle for less. Now you've got the whole. Step out of your death and the way of tears. Leave the slippery path of your secret fears." So I open my eyes. See, all that John has done is targum, the hollow, right? I open my eyes. I look down from above, where I'm seated with heavenlies. And those I once despised, I found I could love. I wiggled my toes, felt some of the ground. I opened my ears. I heard a beautiful sound. I opened my mouth now to say what I believed. And the cup of salvation my lips received. You understand? Return to the rest, you wayward soul. Don't settle for less. Now you've got the whole. Please, please, please. You have lived long enough in your rebellion. You've seen the fruit of your rebellion. You've called it sincerity. You've called it just trying. You've called it abiding. You've called it, oh, I just want to see. God sees it all as rebellion because you have the authority. If you don't know, if you're not subject to authority, you're in, by definition, in a state of rebellion. Do you understand that? I mean, that's the legal term. Your true self is now commanding.
Talking about the order of things, the soul is objection to the spirit.
Man, that's...
It's like gravity, man. It's just the way it is.
It's the way it is. That's this. This is you. The spirit, the oracle of God, here. This is your soul. And this is your body. This is how you relate to the world. This is where the power is.
The spirit.
The spirit's not in the Holy of Holies. Tell that fucker. Return to the rest.
It's like you said, the brain, the body, physical body is in subjection to the brain.
Same thing.
So we've been like brute beasts.
Brute beasts.
Subject to our bodies.
Subject to your bodies. What the hell's going on over there?
Let's don't change the doctrine after all.
It's no longer a fit.
But can you see it's in its grand simplicity? You fought all these years. You've walked through all these corridors of darkness. You've tried every other door. Amen?
Amen. So there really isn't all the fight, but the interplay of oppression and being oppressed. There really is only one demand, and that is to put your soul at rest.
You know, I just saw another aspect, or another little piece of the thing about when Christ was in the grave for 3 days and completed the Sabbath.
The Sabbath.
But not that he didn't know it before, but as he was walking through hell, he knew his body was dead.
Man. You got it?
Got it.
Can you see why fears are not to be excused? Let me read you something. One thing. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made complete, that we might have boldness in that day. Because as he is in this world, so are we. There is no fear in love, but perfect love or tested love has cast out all fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not yet tested in love. The test is simply to command that sucker. Fear of you, the dread of you, all these things have had dominion over us. Yeah, not tonight, not from now on. Long enough. They've served their purpose. How do I know they've served their purpose?
Take it, big guy.